During the Christmas homilies, I reflected on the fact that I think that the world has sanitised or made very, very clean the whole nativity scene, when in fact the truth would have been that it was not a very clean, a very peaceful setting whatsoever. It was quite tumultuous for Joseph and for Mary, and that is the scene in which our Lord was born and in which he came into the world. Most everything in Scripture has a balance in it. We look at the opposites, if you like. So if we go to the birth of Jesus, it is connected, of course, with the death of Jesus. And then on the Feast of the Holy Family, we get the opportunity to reflect on the role of his family from his birth to his death. And the truth of the matter is that we actually don't know much about Jesus' family. We know a little bit about Mary, and we know less of Joseph. By the time Jesus begins his ministry at about 30 years of age, beginning his mission, recognising who he is and what has to be done, by the time he begins that part of his adult life, his family has faded into the background. The only thing we hear about his family is one time at Nazareth when they come to take him away because they think he's mad. And it's following that that Jesus says those famous lines, a prophet is never accepted in his hometown. But even in that event, there is no mention of Joseph. We hear the mention of Jesus with his brothers, and they would be cousins. So a lot of us think of the Holy Family as this perfect family where everything was bliss, because that's what Christmas cards and stained glass windows and everything tell us. When I think the reality would be more akin to what your understanding and your experience of what family is. There wouldn't be a person in this church this morning who doesn't have some drama in their family. Most of us here at some stage have had a lot of joy being members of family as well. But when the drama unfolds within family, it takes over everything, and the stained glass window of our perfect image is shattered. Even in the wedding vows, we talk about the summers and the winters, the joys and the sorrows. These things are hidden from your eyes at this moment, but in time they will be revealed. And trusting in God and trusting in each other, you take each other through the best and the worst of what lies ahead. That is family. It is the best and it is the worst. And I suspect that would be very much the same for the Holy Family. So why do we talk about the inspiration, as in the opening prayer, of the Holy Family? We do that because Jesus' birth concludes, the nativity scene concludes with Easter. It concludes with the resurrection. And once we understand that the journey of our life from beginning to end is connected to resurrection, then we align ourselves with our Father in faith. The first reading particularly welcomes that. Our Father in faith is Abraham, who was an old man with his elderly wife, Sarah, and they conceived late in life, for nothing is impossible to God. And I suppose when we look at what is family and nothing being impossible to God, let's look at our own family. We look at the family that we would call our community. We look at the family of the church. And there is nobody through baptism, nobody in this church this morning who could be considered an orphan, because we are all sons and daughters of God the Father. We are all related to Jesus Christ as brothers and sisters. We are all related in faith to Abraham, our father in faith. So no one is an orphan here. At times you may feel alone, at times you may feel lost and alone. But if we remember that we belong to the family of the church, where we call God our Father, if you get bored listening to me, count the number of times that the word Father is used in Mass. And when we say the word Father, remember that you who are hearing those words are a daughter and a son of God the Father. And that should make us feel comforted. It should make us feel reassured, especially as we get older and especially as the winters and the sorrows that make up our life seem to overwhelm us at times. That's what we mean by the inspiration of the Holy Family. We don't mean the sanitised version of everything being perfect. It's not. And for the greater part of our family life, we have no idea what's going to unfold before us. It seems to me, listening to grandparents and parents, that our children, as much as they are loved, they still disappoint equally as much. They never quite reach the expectations. You who have put so much time and effort and money into the formation of your children, perhaps by sending them to Catholic schools, and then all of a sudden they finish year 12 and they never step inside a church again. And you as parents scratch your head and say, what have I done? You haven't done anything. You have opened a door to the possibility of them recognising that they are son and daughter of God, that they are a brother and sister of Jesus Christ. You have done your bit. And I know, because I hear it all the time, the pains, particularly of parents and grandparents, when their children do not pick up the invitation that you as parents put down when it comes to faith. We don't know what Jesus did between 12 years of age and 30. They aren't the missing years, but they help us probably relate to, well, I don't know what's going to happen with my kids between their early teens and when they become full adults. But I have enough faith and enough trust in God and enough trust in my parenting, you should be saying to yourself, that these young people are going to grow and mature to become recognised as sons and daughters of God the Father and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We've got to have at least that much faith. And in doing that, there will be joys and sorrows. There will be great celebrations and there will be disappointments, I'm sure. But my advice, as one who does not have children but shares in the life of so many families, my advice to you, particularly as we enter into 2024, which is going to be a struggling year for many families, my advice to you is keep the door open. In the words of St. Pope John Paul II, and especially in the words of Pope Francis, just be welcoming. Be open. If you feel that the door is being slammed shut on you and what you have to offer in faith in your family, if that door looks like it's going to be closing firmly, then you stick your foot in the door and you keep it ajar. Always let that little bit of hope come forward. And it will come as that door jams on your foot. It'll hurt you. And that's what families all experience, every one of them. But in time, perhaps in the darkest moment, when your child walks past that open door of the family of faith that you have created, when that child walks past and see that there is light there and can open that door, that homecoming will be more special than anything you've probably experienced in your entire life with that child, perhaps even more so than the birth of that child. So on this Feast of Holy Family, I just give to you the reality, I suppose, of what it is to be a family member. For Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they came and they presented, that's what the gospel is today, they presented their son to God to say thank you for the gift of this child. What was going to happen and become of this child, they had no idea. And that would be revealed in the fullness of time. And as a result of that, we have been drawn into our own salvation, where we can use the words immortality, we can use the words eternity. Unless Jesus was given to God, the Father, unless Jesus was resurrected from the dead, our faith is useless, it is nothing. And that's simply not the case. Our faith is everything. Our faith is that light that shines through the gap in the door because you faithful people have got your foot stuck in it saying, I will always welcome you. Ever how broken your little ones may be or ever how broken your big ones may be. Always, always be a family of welcome in your personal family, in the family of the church and in the family of humanity.